A pastor friend sent me an email. "You are so busy," he wrote. "Make sure you take some time off to relax." A writer friend is taking the month of July off from her work. No writing for publication, no promotion, no social media, just time for her family and for herself. Another friend, who is rather impatiently recovering from a fall, was told by her doctor, "You need to rest more. Put your feet up so you can heal." We might think of each of these as an invitation to rest. More than an invitation, really. More like well-meaning advice. Expressions of care. Doctor's orders. A personal challenge for those who can't seem to find time to rest and for those who are tired of resting and want to get going. Yet for health, for growth, rest is vital. Athletes in heavy training know this. They need to alternate their heavier workout days with lighter days of rest so their muscles can recover and rebuild stronger than before. Rest is also vital for those of us who are not athletes. We need rest for body and soul. In the time of Jesus, Sabbath rest was a way of life for the Jewish people. At least it was supposed to be. From the beginning, in creation, God worked to create the heavens and the earth and everything else. Then God finished the work and rested on the seventh day, says Genesis chapter 2. God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. In the Ten Commandments, the people were instructed to stop working and take a day of rest. The Sabbath was meant to be a weekly reminder of God at work. God created the universe and everything in it. God had freed the people from slavery in Egypt. So instead of working and working and working, as if everything depended on their own efforts, the people were to take a holy day of rest, to remember God's work in the past and God's work in their present and future. For them, real rest meant rest to remember God at work. But over time, instead of being a day of rest and celebration, as God intended for the Sabbath had become so laden with laws that it was no longer a reminder of God's creative work. No longer a day of rest and freedom to celebrate how God had freed them from slavery. Instead, the Sabbath had become a burden. Into that setting, Jesus offered God's invitation to rest. We've heard it already in our gospel reading today, and here is Jesus' invitation as it appears in the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You can see how the Message addresses the people tired of the law, worn out by all of the Sabbath rules. They were burned out by Sabbath keeping, burned out on religion, so to speak. Now, we heard Jesus' invitation to rest at the end of our gospel lesson today, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And if we were to look at the whole gospel, we would see those verses at the very end of Matthew chapter 11. But Jesus' words here are not an ending. They're an invitation to something more. These were not some kind of concluding remarks from Jesus. Instead, they form an introduction to Matthew chapter 12, which focuses on the Sabbath and on the real rest that Jesus offered. At the start of Matthew 12, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field on the Sabbath. The disciples were hungry, so they were plucking grain to eat as they walked along. This was permitted in the religious law. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, says Deuteronomy chapter 23, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So it was permitted, if you were simply passing through, to pick someone else's grain by hand and eat it. But it was against the law to go in with a sickle and a big bushel basket to cart the grain away. In this way, the law respected the owner of the field and protected his harvest, while also providing for travelers and caring for the poor so they would have food. But some of the Pharisees objected. They said to Jesus, "Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." In their zeal for the law, the Pharisees saw the disciples plucking the grain and decided that was a form of reaping, which was a form of work, which was not permitted on the Sabbath. So in their view, Jesus' disciples were breaking the law. But Jesus defended the disciples by telling a story from the Pharisees' own history. Long ago, King Saul had wanted to kill David, so David was on the run, passing quickly through the city with his men. They were hungry, but the only bread available was the bread set aside by law for the priests. But David ate the bread reserved for the priests. He even gave the bread to those who were with him. The Pharisees could hardly argue against David, who had become a great king and a well-respected part of their own history. Jesus' defense silenced the Pharisees, but only for a time. For when Jesus went into the synagogue and saw a man with a withered hand, the Pharisees again challenged him. Matthew 12, verse 10 says, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" In their view, healing was a kind of work, and since work was not permitted on the Sabbath, healing must be against the law too. But Jesus asked them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out?" Of course they would have. "How much more valuable is a person than a sheep," said Jesus. "Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then Jesus turned to the man with the withered hand, asked him to stretch it out, and his hand was restored to full strength. But instead of celebrating the miracle, the Pharisees went on with their plan to accuse Jesus. They sought to do him harm. Jesus sought to heal. The Pharisees practiced the letter of the law. Jesus practiced the law's life-giving spirit. For Jesus, real rest meant remembering God at work and finding rest in God's life-giving power. So too for us today. Even as we work, as we seek to do good, as we seek to help others, may we also remember that it is God at work in and through us. May we rest in that thought, and may we rest in God's life-giving power. In the Gospels, Jesus observed a Sabbath day of rest by going to the synagogue. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the Gospel of Luke says Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Like every other devout Jew in his day, Jesus reserved the Sabbath for going to the synagogue. It was a time to be together as a community, a time for worship, for reading scripture, for teaching. For Jesus, this was his regular custom. And from this, we learn from Jesus that real rest means rest in worship. I realize that a lot of work goes into a worship service like ours today. Work during the week and weeks ahead. Work to prepare this space with the liturgical colors and fresh flowers. To get coffee ready or a meal ready when we have one after the service. To practice music. To read. To speak. And to attend to many, many details. But I pray that we can also find real rest in worship, in the moments of quiet reflection, in the words of scripture, in passing the peace, in simply being present with one another in the presence of God. May all our striving and unrest fall away in those moments. May we find real rest as we worship together. In addition to the Sabbath day of rest, Jesus also deliberately took periods of rest throughout the week. So when Jesus and his disciples traveled through Samaria, Jesus was tired and rested by the well while his disciples went to the town to get some food. One time, when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the lake by boat, Jesus was sleeping when a storm arose. Jesus took time away from the press of the crowds to pray alone, early in the morning and late at night. These times of rest throughout the week are also mirrored in creation. In the creation story, this one phrase is repeated, and God saw that it was good. So in Genesis 1 verse 4, God saw that the light was good. In verse 10, God created the earth and the oceans, and again the text says, God saw that it was good. In verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, and God saw that it was good. In verse 21, God created sea creatures and birds, and God saw that it was good. In verse 25, God created land animals of every kind, and God saw that it was good. Finally, in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. This account of creation makes note of this phrase over and over and over. So in addition to the Sabbath day of rest at the end of God's creative work, between the days of creation, there were these times of sacred pause, these Sabbath moments, we might call them, where God stopped and said, yes, this is good. That too is part of real rest, when we pause to acknowledge, yes, this is good. God is good. Such Sabbath moments are not the same as a whole day, but they too were part of the rhythm of creation, part of the rhythm of work and rest that we can also see and learn in the life of Jesus. When Jesus paused to pray alone before he called his disciples, when he paused to give thanks to God before he miraculously fed the crowds, when he paused to give thanks before he called Lazarus back from the dead, such Sabbath moments can be real rest for us too. Pausing before a meal or before setting out on a long drive. Pausing for a good morning or good night prayer. Pausing at any time to acknowledge God's goodness. To rest in worship and in God's life-saving, life-giving power. To remember God at work. May we accept God's invitation to rest today and throughout the week.